Man, very good. I don't think I've heard that one before. Very good. I'm going to help you talk to him today. Amen. All right. Brother House, come on and preach to us. And that's my introduction.
Thank you, sir. If you have your Bible tonight, we must hurry. I'm on the clock. Find Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll look at some very, very familiar scriptures again. I'm of the opinion if we preach from familiar scriptures, we can't hardly go wrong. I looked up some stuff today. It'll depress you. I can find it. Since I looked it up today, I don't know it if I don't find it. I'm going to speak to you tonight on Paul's guidelines for happy stewardship. But I want you to listen to some particular things that I picked up today. Harris Poll in 2014, that's 5 years ago, 4 years ago probably, it was found that 72% of the Americans that were surveyed suffered from stress over money. 76% of those surveyed were living from check, paycheck to paycheck. 25% of those had no savings at all. Now that's sad. See, now, if you and I tie into the wise life of stewardship, we'll understand that biblical stewardship is a good life and a happy life. None of that stress. It's amazing. Our problem, and we have to go back to the starting point over and over and over again, the problem lies in the fact of ownership. And all these folks, I wouldn't say all of them, but a vast majority of them who are stressed over money. See, when you get that way, it affects you emotionally, it affects you spiritually, it affects you physically, it affects you, it winds up in divorce, and families split and splintered all over the money thing. Once we understand ownership, none of that stuff's ours. God owns everything. When you work from that premise, you see, it's not so hard to put God first. But if money takes first place, then things are bad there, you see. It's hard to put God first when you're up to your ears in debt. It's hard to put God first when every time the telephone rings, you cringe. When the mailman leaves mail, you don't want to look in the box. You know, the creditors are after you. You know, there's a word for not putting God first over in the Old Testament. It's called idolatry. And too often money has become the idol of Americans today. And we don't have to live that way. Christians here tonight, you that are here tonight that have not yet made the transition, right now tonight you need to determine that you are going to begin to live within your means so that you can get, you know, when someone tells a preacher, "I can't afford to tithe," you know then they're not living within their means. You say, "Well, no, preacher, that just means they don't have any money." That just means they're living beyond their means. Two ways to correct it. One, get another job, double two jobs. Or number two, cut down your expenses until when you make a budget, you can tithe and you can give offerings and you can still pay the rest of your bills, and you're just beginning then to live the life of a happy steward. So I hope we'll come to understand that. You see, when you hear the word stewardship, it's not about getting more money out of you. It's about moving you into a position where God can bless you and do what He wants to do in your life, and you can live a happy Christian life, you see. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were I already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I follow after. I reckon we're all followers, aren't we? We're followers together. And as we follow along in the Word tonight, let us understand that Paul was a success in what he did as a Christian. From the time he was saved until the time that he was called to heaven, his life shows us that he was a success. And if that be true, then success is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. But we think it is, don't we? We surely do. You see, we need to be very careful. Success is not in a life of ease and pleasure 100% of the time. That's not it at all. Real success is entirely different. Paul, that great preacher, that great success, used a lot of illustrations. He liked to use sports illustrations. I can't imagine why, after Sunday. But he did. And he talked about wrestling and racing, and he's kind of in that race here now, and he seemed to be excited about it. And it's strange that we have folks today that can't get excited about what his supreme excitement was about, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with getting excited about sports if you just get as excited about church. You just make as much racket in church as you did at the ball game. You say, well, now we don't want to get to be a fanatic. That's a fan. Yeah, same thing. Well, we're in something more exciting than that. And I want us to see Paul's pointers for happy stewardship. First of all, you're going to have to consider your condition. You're going to have to finally say, all right, things are not right. Look at verse 12 again, if you would. And Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He did a little quick assessment there and said, I hadn't got it made yet. The most successful Christian we know anything about up until that time, you see. And you and I have to do the same thing. You and I are going to have to sit down long enough and be honest enough with ourselves to say, you know, this financial thing's beating me up. I haven't got it like it ought to be yet. I'm not the kind of a Christian steward I ought to be. See, until we see where we are, we're not ever going to know where we're going. You have to locate yourself. And he said, I have not attained. Quite a statement for that gentleman to make. I have not attained. I'm not where I want to be. And you know, you say, well, I read my Bible. I understand. And you ought to. But till you find out where you are, the Bible's not a whole lot of help till you'll admit where you are. I was driving. When I first began to travel I-10 from east to west through Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida, by the time I got to that Florida panhandle, that was the longest 300 miles I ever saw in my life. And I was driving along, I don't know, it was the first or second time I'd ever driven that way, and I got to wondering how much further it was. This was before GPS's. And I didn't have a woman sitting there with me, so I just wanted to know. And so I had a road atlas in the back seat. Everybody did at that time. And I got my pulled over, got my road atlas out to see how much further it was. And as I looked at the map, I had a real revelation. I said, "Stupid, this is not going to help you in it, find out how much further it is." You know why? Because I didn't know where I was. You got to know where you was to know how far it is to where you got to get. And we need to understand that. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Just consider your condition, you see. None of us perfect yet, are we? I heard about that sinless perfection guy. He was in a meeting and he got to kind of going strong on how he had perfected his life and how he was living a life of perfection. Finally, his wife got up and said, "Remember, John, I'm here." Yeah. So Paul, he's so good and so dissatisfied. Such a good man and so dissatisfied with where he's at. He cried out, "Oh, that I might know him." I would imagine he knew him about as well as anybody in the world, but he wanted to know him better. He figured out where he was. "I have not attained." So you locate yourself. And while you're doing that, don't start comparing yourself with other people, or you will be in a mess. You want to find out where you are, just don't compare yourself with other people. And if you'll just compare yourself with Christ, you'll be better off. You start comparing yourself with other people, you'll either overdo it or underdo it. You'll find someone that's found out what real Christian stewardship's all about, and they don't sweat the money thing. They're just stewarding God's money. And they don't have unmet needs. You know, did you know that normal today, in our society, normal means I'm going to always have a car note. Normal means I'm always going to be paying a house note. Normal means it looks like I'm not ever going to get this college bill paid off, you see. And we have folks going into life thinking that's the way life is, that you're in debt till you die. They think the way out of debt is to die. It's terrible. And so if you compare yourself with someone who's got it all together, you're going to underrate your life. And then if you find, if it's possible for you to find anybody in worse shape than you are, you're going to overrate your life. Just measure by Christ, and you'll be all right there, you see. And don't put yourself down. Just see where you are. And if you need some help on it, and I'm serious about this, there are folks here at the church that can help you sit down and develop a budget. And just see where you are. So number one, you're going to have to consider your condition. Once you do that, you say, "Okay, I've not attained. I've got a piece to go yet." Then second thing you want to do is chart your course. Chart your course. Verse 12 has one thing to do here, you see. He said, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And then in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus." What it simply means is, bring all your goals into one singular focus. Get them all together. This one thing I do. That's what he said. You said, "Well, maybe so, but I've got a lot of things to do." Well, if you do, and any of them are not pointing toward God and his will for you, you got one too many things to do, that you need to get rid of. See, he's thinking of a race now. This one thing I do. He loves to talk about sports in this race. And if you've ever paid attention and you ever watch a race, those folks have one thing on their mind. That's running the race. They don't have side issues. They're not going to stop at the popcorn stand. They're not going to be waving at the crowd. They're going to be running the race. One thing in mind, crossing the goal first. A Christian ought to be like that. Have I brought all my goals into one focus? Someone said, well, life's pretty rough. Sure is. I love one of the old stories. A fella had him a new car and he thought he'd take him a ride through the country. And he went out in the country and drove and made those curves and around and he got lost. Wound up on the roughest road and he just felt like he was shaking his automobile all to pieces. Have you ever noticed when you get a new car, things bother you that didn't bother you in your old car? And he just thinks he's running this car, and so he goes slower and slower and slower. Finally, sees an old guy up there standing up against a tree, had his rake in his hand like he'd been working sometime or another. And he pulled up to him and said, can you direct me out of here? And he said, I can. He said, well, which way do I go? He said, just go up here. When you get to the cemetery, take that big curve, and it'll lead you right on into town. He said, thank you, sir, but I got one more question. He said, what is it? He said, is this road this rough all the way? He said, well, it's this rough all the way to the cemetery, and it's smooth from there on. What do you expect this life to be? I mean, what in the world are you really looking for in this world? It's that we're aliens here, you know. Somebody said, well, it's just impossible. I've just got too much to do. No, no. Jesus said no man can have two masters. Can't serve God and mammon, money. Just can't do it, you see. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Got to be single-minded about the whole thing. Paul said again, this one thing I do. Now, remember what I preached last night, of course you don't. But based on that statement, Paul said, this one thing I do. Can we honestly stand before God and say that's unreasonable? Most reasonable thing we'll ever do. Amen. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just reasonable, you see. That master goal. What he's suggesting is put all your eggs in one basket and then watch the basket. Keep your eye on it. You know, anything else less than God's perfect will for us is unworthy. One goal, I press toward the mark, and we need to understand that. Too many of us just drifting back and forth, drifting this way and drifting that way. Whichever wind of doctrine comes by, we've gone that way. Doesn't need to work like that. So consider your condition. If Paul did it and said, look, I've not attained, I expect we got a good start on how we're going to wind up. When you discern where you are, then you need to decide where you're going to go. You need to chart your course. Just get it settled down. And then, this is a biggie. Third thing you need to do, I hate to bring this one up. Let me go through those other two again. Consider your condition. Chart your course. All right, I'm going to say it. Change your attitude. You know, some Christians suffer from a stinking attitude. What Zig Ziglar said, they need a checkup from the neck up. I'm with him. You see, Paul said, verse 12, I follow after. Paul said in verse 14, I press toward. Same words, just a relentless pursuit of God's will for his life, a positive determination. And Paul is such a positive Christian. I mean, you want to get some self-help here and being positive. There it is. And you are very familiar with where he is writing this from. He's in prison, cheering us up. We'd be saying, please, can you get the lawyer? Get that Christian lawyer down here. Get him in here. Somebody help me. No. Well, he's encouraging us, still pressing forward in that relentless pursuit, writing from a prison cell. But he's still running the race. He's still running. You say, not much room in there to run. He's not running with his legs now. He's running with his heart. If you're going to quit when your legs get tired, you're pitiful. I'm talking about spiritually now. Yeah. You're going to quit when your body starts quitting. That's pitiful. Paul in that mud hole of a cell, that hole in the ground, cold, could have been whining, self-pity, and he writes this challenge to us. You know, someone said, you know, I never have met someone, but he must have been a wise person because he said so much. But someone said, you can always tell the size of a Christian by what it takes to stop them. Now, let you and I go look over in that hole at Paul. Now, what you going to say to him? I mean, he's in there laboring on. I probably want to say to him, Paul, man, you need to take it easy. You're older. And if anybody, look, man, if anybody's paid their way, you got it paid, man. I mean, you've served. You need to rest while you're in here and try to keep your strength up. I think I'd just encourage, probably in my carnality, I'd encourage him to quit. Well, think about it. Good night. That old man sitting there, he'd been shipwrecked. He'd been snake bit. He'd been beaten three times with lashes, with rock and glass on him. He'd been stoned and left for dead. If anybody needs to take a break, it'd be Paul. Still running. Still running. You see, how do you know? He said he was. I press toward. I follow after. Well, where are you doing all that? In that little hole in the ground. Just pressing on. Well, Paul, take a break. Rest. He said, no, I can't do that. I've not reached my goal yet. See, some of us don't have a goal. That's the reason you need to consider where you are. I mean, if you don't have a goal for God, then you don't really have a goal for living. So set your goal. Consider where you are. And if you're there, God bless you. But if you're with the rest of us, still haven't attained, you ought to sit with God till you know where you want to go. Chart your course. And then change your attitude about it. It's not a bad life. It's the best life. It's not a sad life, it's the happy life. It's an amazing thing, you see. But we don't do that, you know. We say, Paul, settle down. Oh, I've not reached my goal yet. That's not like some of us. See, some of us, we used to tithe, but we quit when circumstances changed. We used to give, but we quit when circumstances changed. We used to be faithful to every service, but we quit when circumstances changed. We used to be counted on for anything. Now we can't be counted on for nothing because circumstances change. You used to teach a Sunday school class, but you quit. You used to drive a bus, but you quit. You used to be regular to serve in any capacity. but you quit. Not Paul. He said, I press toward the mark. I'm not quitting. You think Paul had some circumstances change? Oh, yeah. 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 But he said, I press toward the goal. What a positive attitude. Could I encourage some of you? Just change your attitude. This is not the worst part of church. This is not the bad part. There ain't no worst or bad part. But this is very near the best part when you come to talking about the thing that will change every area of your life for good forever. This is just about the best part. When the preacher talks about stewardship, and the preacher sets up a stewardship reminder and gives you some opportunities to be a good steward. Haven't reached your goal yet. Nope, but you could. So, consider your condition. Chart your course. Change your attitude. And then fourthly, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. That's how you reach higher. That's how you get to living within your means. You challenge yourself to do it. That's how you position yourself to tithe and give more and more and more year after year after year. I press toward the mark. Just challenge yourself. Every runner has to have a goal. You have to be pointed at something. Or you're running in circles. Any of you ever get lost out hunting in the woods? Walk by your truck about 6 times, you just can't see it? Circling the block. You need to have a little aim and help you a whole lot, you see. I wonder what Paul meant, though, when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. I wonder if that troubles some of us in this thing of being a good steward. Well, I come up poor, and I'm going to see to it I'm not poor anymore. You can't even pay your bills. What do you mean? Well, I got a car, and I got to have... No. The bank's got those. You're just using them. You can change it all if you want to, you see. But you got to get away from that. We never did it that way before. You got to move on from that. You can't stay there. You can't reach your goal looking over your shoulder. Just can't do it. Paul, that old man sitting there in that prison, still got one pointed goal. I press toward the mark. Why, what an attitude. What a spiritual giant. He's not remembering how it used to be. He's anticipating a higher prize than there's ever been. That's what you and I need to do. Don't need to be living in the past, thinking about what might have been. Just don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want folks saying about me, he used to be a preacher. I would not want folks saying about me, they used to be a Sunday school teacher. I would not want folks saying about me, he used to tithe and give and support every area of our ministry. No. I'm not perfect. Good night. We're not voting on that. But I can see to it that that's never said about me. Yeah, you can too. You don't reach a certain age and just cut out on God. And you're never too young. It's for everybody. Just keep your eye on the goal. Don't shut up. Don't let up. Just run the race. It's an amazing thing what happens. Now, after saying all that, as we come toward the end, we're real close to the end, actually. I look over this crowd and I think, man, there's no need of you saying that to this crowd. But that's not in my knowledge box, so I have to say this. After this kind of message, I must remind myself and you that salvation and heaven are not a prize you get for running a race well. There's not one thing you can do to earn your way into heaven. There's not anything you'd left undone that'll keep you from going to heaven, really, but some of you are going to be ashamed when you get there if you don't straighten things up. See, salvation is a gift which enables us to run the race. When God saves you, He puts you in the race. Now, how are you going to run it? You say, I'm not in the race. Yeah, you got in the race when you got saved. You just hadn't been running. A lot of Christians standing right where they got on the racetrack. They've not progressed one bit. They're no more spiritually grown than they were the day they got saved. And there's just needs to be a desperate change, you see. If you love Him like you ought to love Him, it will cause you to determine to run the race. Your love, His love, go together. So consider where you are. Chart your course. Change your attitude. And then challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Someone said, well, you talk about this life of stewardship and happiness. Describe it for us. Well, that's kind of hard to do. Wanda, my wife, who hadn't been coming to church this week, she'd been laying out. She was trying to make up to me last night for not going. So she peeled me an apple while I was sitting in the Lazy Boy. Boy, those things are properly named, aren't they? And she brought it over there to me, knife and all. And I sat there and ate that thing. That's the best thing I ever ate. Somebody said, how does it taste? Now, let's suppose you had never eaten an apple. Now, you're asking me how it tastes. What am I going to tell you? Well, it tastes like an apple. Well, I've never eaten an apple. That's tough. Someone says, well, now you talk about this happy stewardship. How is that? Well, it's like happy stewardship. And if you ain't never been there, you're going to have to try it to know how it is. On your own, voluntarily, decide. I'm going to bring all my goals into one focus. I'm going to press toward the aim. I'm going to run the race. Gladly, because of the mercies of God. Would you bow your head, please? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I wonder if tonight you need to find an old-fashioned altar and just consider where you are. Just let God have His way. Chart your course. Just come and let God have His way. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, we'll stand. Brother Michael will begin to sing for us. Father, thank You for someone like Paul who could set out so clearly the joy of Christian stewardship. May we be what You'd have us to be, because we love You and are grateful for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.